On this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
First thing when you're sliding in a death's doorway, at least in that moment for me, that fear that bolts through your body is an existential question of, did I live? I sit there with the planner, I close my eyes, I visualize doing the thing, and I ask myself, how can I do that thing with joy and excellence? You know, we tracked a lot of the guys from the high performance world who are you know, more of the physiology type coaches. And we had a world-class cyclist there who came up to me and said, how did you just do that?
Health, performance, nutrition, longevity, ancestral living, biohacking, and much more. My name is Ben Greenfield. Welcome to the show.
I have my friend and world famous motivational speaker, Brendan Burchard, on the show today. Brendan's actually really cool. I've gotten to know him lately, and he's the real deal. Like, he's a really cool cat, super kind hearted, super giving, really inspirational. He doesn't get a chance much to talk about his personal life, like his personal biohacks and supplements and fitness routine, but he got a chance to on today's show. We have fun. You're going to like it. Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You gotta check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. You put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their sexual performance booster, again by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. Usejoymode.com/greenfield. They'll give you 20% off your first order. Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses. And keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just three times a week, You can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com. All right, folks, my guest on today's show is actually somebody who I've been aware of for a long time. I think probably like, gosh, I want to say this was like 8 or 9 years ago. I was sharing a hotel room at a triathlon with one of my triathlon buddies named Kerry Sullivan. And Kerry, he took out his computer and he's like, dude, you got to watch a video of this guy. He was like living out of his apartment and dead broke. And now he's just like this enormously successful internet entrepreneur. And he's super inspirational and motivational. And I watched the video. And at the time, this guy wasn't super duper well known, but he was making it, so to speak. And you know, then I kind of forgot about him for a while, and then over the past few years, I've seen this guy everywhere. He's a number one New York Times bestselling author now. He's written books like High Performance Habits and The Motivation Manifesto, The Charge, The Millionaire Messenger, Life's Golden Ticket. Oprah Magazine named him as one of the most influential leaders in the field of personal growth. Many consider him to be the world's top high performance coach, like Forbes Magazine and Success Magazine, and he literally speaks to tens and tens of thousands of people at live events every year. He has trained Oprah. He has trained Usher. He has trained dozens of Olympians and Fortune 500 CEOs. And he is all over the place. But perhaps most important for you, my listener, is he is he's really into health too. And I've had a few very fascinating chats with him, and he really takes care of his body and his brain in some pretty profound ways, and has his own rituals and routines and habits that I think you guys will really dig, in addition to some of his success habits. So his name is Brendon Burchard, and everything that Brendon and I talk about today, you can find over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Brendon Burchard, and his name is spelled BrendonBurchard, bengreenfieldfitness.com/Brendon Burchard for the show notes, for his books, for his website, to learn more about this cat. Brendon, welcome to the show, man.
Man, it's an honor to be here, and I love your show so much, dude. So this is a great moment for me. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Well, I'm stoked to have you. And you're probably sick of getting this question, but let me tell you, it is pretty inspirational. And so I'm wondering if we can start off with you just sharing your fascinating backstory with folks.
Yeah. You know, the thing that brought me into what you and I do in this whole world of psychology and high performance was the fact that I was a miserable, sad, and suicidal kid.
I know. I watched that cheesy video like 9 years ago.
I mean, that's really where it came from. I wish it wasn't so cheesy, but it just happened to be my life at the time. I had gone through a really terrible breakup with my high school sweetheart. We thought we were going to get married, and we went to college together, and we were kind of like just completely united in that like gross high school love where we were each other's, you know, everything. And so I kind of followed her to college at the University of Montana. And, you know, within that first semester, she had cheated on me. And my whole identity was kind of wrapped up in us. And sometimes when, you know, a relationship like that falls apart, you fall apart. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. I fell apart. I didn't have the mindset or the psychological tools to deal with that type of thing. So I fell into just, you know, first blatant, you know, sadness, and then it became depression, then it became suicidal thinking. And I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't motivate myself. I couldn't, you know, friends. I had friends, they'd come over, hey, let's do something. I couldn't do that. I didn't want to go to classes because she was in the classes because I signed up all my classes to follow her around. Jeez. I mean, it was just a hopeless situation. So
that bitch.
You know, I lay in bed and, you know, ate terrible food, didn't take care of myself, didn't shower, didn't go to class. I mean, not an uncommon college freshman story, I guess. But, and then one day I was, the one thing that saved me, Ben, was reading. And I was always reading, and I happened to read the school newspaper and was flipping through it. And there was a big ad, this full page ad. And across the top had this headline. This may be the best marketing headline of all time for a sad sure. young dude anyway. And it said, escape across this thing. And it was this, you know, bright white sandy beach, turquoise water, palm trees. And it said, you know, summertime jobs for students in the Dominican Republic. Sounds now, remember, nice. I'm in Montana. I have no idea where the Dominican Republic is at that time in my life. But I knew she wouldn't be there. So I take this job. I go down there. I become like a glorified tour guide. And, you know, real long story short, one night I'm driving around clients, drop off some clients. My friend Kevin hops in the car. He takes the wheel. He's driving us back home a little after midnight. And we're going down this road, brand new paved road in the Dominican Republic. We're going about 85 miles an hour. And we came upon a corner that, at least in the U.S., would have had one of those big yellow-shaped, you know, signs with a U-turn, slow down, be cautious, be careful, and it didn't have that. And so we rounded that corner at 85, and that became like the literal turning point in my life. We skid off the road, and in the next few minutes from there, I really discovered a reverence for life, because here I was, this kid, previously wanted to take my life, and now it's being threatened. Hmm. And as the car flipped off the side of the road, these things and these images and these feelings and sensations went through my mind and my body that really put me on a different path. Because that first thing when you're sliding in a death's doorway, at least in that moment for me, that fear that bolts through your body is an existential question of, did I live? You know, if this is it, if this is my last moment, that feeling of fear is contextualized to, did I live my life yet? You know, did I live fully and vibrantly and cheerfully and joyously, and did I really feel life? You know, I obviously didn't like the answer to that question.
Yeah. How many seconds or minutes is it taking for all this to go through your head?
It's one of those situations where anyone who's ever been in an accident knows that weird slow motion thing happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, time is unbound somehow. And, you know, and I'll be honest too, I don't know if I felt 100% of how I digest it now and years later and months later as I did in that exact moment, because it was instantaneous but forever at the same time. Because as the car went off the road, it smacked into this little retainer wall of bricks and boulders, and it smashed the car up in the air, and I hit my head on the door, and I started seeing all these images of times in my life when I was surrounded by people that I cared for and loved. And it makes you ask that question of, did I love? Mm-hmm. Did I, you know, because you will think of who you miss, who right. you'll miss, and who will miss you at the end. And the car smashed the ground, rolled several times. I got knocked completely out when I came to. Kevin was screaming, you know, get out of the car, get out of the car, get out of the car. And he's trying to get outside the driver's side window. I'd go to get outside my passenger side window. But it's all smashed down. The whole car is smashed on top of me. So I kind of kick through this windshield in front of me, pull myself through, and I stand on the crumpled hood of this car. You know, this is seconds after the car accident, surely, but it felt like a yeet, you know. And I stand up there, Kevin's screaming at the side, all bloodied. I'm looking down at my body, and there's just blood pouring off my body under the hood.
Wow.
And, you know, I feel this... It's hard to explain, because for those who've been in shock before, not only is time unbound, but you're kind of unbound from your body. It's the weirdest thing. You feel like 1,000 pounds, but not there too. And the blood was going off the hood of the car, and I thought I was going to pass out. I thought it was the end. And I just remember looking down at all of it, and I just thought, you know, did I even matter? You know, if this is it, was there a purpose to this thing? I mean, I just felt this moment. I was going to pass out, and then there was a glint in my blood at the side of the car where the hood was going, the blood was going off the hood. And like a reflection, it made me look up, and there was this huge moon that night. I hadn't even seen it. And all of a sudden I felt this huge connection. And there's no way to describe it for me other than I felt like instantaneously, like things were going to be okay. I felt like almost a calm, a grace. I felt like the big guy reached down and handed me what I eventually called life's golden ticket. You know, it was like, hey kid, you're still alive. You can still live and you can still love and you can still matter, but guess what? The clock is ticking. It was my moment of reverence. It was my moment of grace. It was the moment I've connected to God for me personally for the first time. And it was a sense that I was going to be okay. And, you know, I don't want to ruin the whole story to everybody, but yeah, I lived, you know,
obviously.
And Kevin lived, and, you know, a bunch of scared kids with tons of blood and broken bones and stuff. And just the horror of what was going on. But at the same time, maybe the best moment of my life, because it truly made me realize two things. One, I didn't want to die. And it faced, you know, a 19-year-old kid facing mortality. To me, that was a blessing. But then the other side of things, it gave me intention, because, you know, weeks later, as I'm recovering and thinking through everything, and I'm trying to digest it all. And I just remember realizing, like, oh my God, I was given my life's last questions. You know, everybody who's listening right now, they're at the end of your life, you're going to evaluate your life to see if you were happy with it. You're going to ask yourself questions of how you felt about your life. And those questions might sound like, you know, was I a good dad, or did I follow my dreams, or did I take care of people, or did I fulfill my potential? And I just found out that my questions were, did I live, did I love, and did I matter?
Did I live, did I love, did I matter? Interesting.
Yeah.
By the way, not to throw your story off the rails, but have you read that book, The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying?
Yes.
So good. What is I wish I'd had the courage to live life true to myself, not the life other people expected of me. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. I wish I'd have stayed in touch with my old friends, and I wish that I had let myself be happier. And now nobody needs to go read that book, unless you actually want to read a super powerful book. But you know, that also, you know, same thing. You can actually almost know what questions that you need to address early in life by looking at what people have had near-death experiences like you, or who are on their deathbeds, are saying. So you said again, did I live? Did I love? Did I matter? So what'd you go on and do from there? Because obviously Oprah didn't just like show up and ask you to be on the front cover of her magazine right after that.
Yeah, well, I went back to school, and I very quickly got my act together, because when you recognize life is short, you want to live it, and you want to connect with other people, and you want to do something with yourself. So I came back an unbelievably motivated guy. And, you know, this is, but just to give context, this is 25 years ago. And I still, 25 years in a row, including last night, last three questions of my day are, did I live, did I love, did I matter? And I always tell people, when you are living into the questions that you know you're going to ask at the end of your life, that's when you start living purposefully. When you start evaluating those questions, that's when you start living purposefully. So for me, you know, I just started trying to do those things. I started being more bold and courageous and living. I started talking to people more and sharing my feelings and trying to live through my heart. I tried to volunteer and do leadership stuff for the first time, and that was a huge deal. And then I was in school, and I got my degree in political science. Then I got a master's degree in organizational communication. My emphasis was in leadership, so that I could really understand how to make a difference. How do I change people's lives? I then got a job going to work for Accenture, which was then the world's largest consulting company. And I was in charge of change management. My job was helping companies thrive through change and developing leadership development programs. So here I am, like this 20-year-old dude who looks way younger than you do still, you know, and I'm like wandering around Fortune 500 companies helping build their leadership programs with these other partners who kind of, they'd sell the work, and then I'd do the research and interview all the teams, develop the framework that was unique to that company. train their people, roll it out, and did that for 7 years. I liked the job, but I wanted to write books. I'm passionate, as I said, was reading. Reading always saved my life, so I wanted to write a book.
Yeah, I run into that a lot, by the way. Any bookworm usually loves to write or has like this deep-seated desire, sometimes subconsciously, to write. And just about anybody who isn't into reading hates writing, like my wife. Like, she you put her in front of a canvas and she will make amazing art because she loves to go to museums and see art and watch art and get super into feng shui and interior design. But you know me, I love to read. And yeah, like if I go a week without writing, I feel like something's missing from my life.
That was it for me too. And I did 7 years in a corporate job and I loved it and it was good. And I was, you know, high achieving because I was just completely surrounded by high achievers. And that got me deeper into studying performance because, you know, when there's such a demand, when you're working 12 hours, 16 hour days surrounded by like super A type people, which was not where I grew up and not what I was used to. I grew up in, you know, at the poverty line in Butte, Montana, and I, you know, we never had anything, and there wasn't a culture of excellence, if you will. There wasn't like, there weren't a lot of leaders. People were just trying to survive and care for their families. So I didn't have a lot of exposure to that. So that really helped me. But it, you know, from the time I was 19, I read a book a week on psychology, philosophy, leadership, or communication. And so when it came time to write my book, I was prepared. I wrote Life's Golden Ticket, and it bombed. I did, because I knew how to lead, I knew how to communicate, but I never learned anything about marketing, which is probably what you were sharing at the beginning of this show when you were talking about your friend. But hey, look at this guy out here. He's kind of made it. It's because what happened was the book didn't do well and it really ticked me off. And so I thought, okay, well, I guess I better learn how to do this marketing thing. And you got to understand, this is like 2006 and 7 when the internet was super new in terms of like people doing, you know, e-commerce or internet marketing for themselves. And it was also brand new at that time to really online video. Online video was really emerging.
Oh yeah. I remember that when online, like doing like video sales letters or who was the guy? Was it Frank Kern?
Yeah.
Who was the original guy who was training? Cause I actually, I launched a triathlon training product. I guess it was about 10 years ago, and really like followed his formula: video sales letter, where you have like a whole PowerPoint presentation and you film it, and then your voice is like the background for the PowerPoint presentation, and you push that out, and it's like this video that people watch instead of reading those super long sales letters.
Yeah, exactly. It was him and Andy Jenkins, the Video Boss guys, and I wasn't in their world. I'm to this day, I'm not a marketer. I'm a personal development guy who had to figure out marketing to sell his personal development books and courses and trainings and seminars. So I learned how to do that. And all I did is I came in at that time and I brought two things. One, I could really teach because I learned to build frameworks at Accenture to roll out these global companies. And two, I was approaching it not as internet marketing. To me, it was a career. I never thought of get rich quick. I never thought of like the make money side of things. I was like, oh, this is a way to further my career. So I brought the value orientation of excellence and career and customer service stuff into the space, and you know, was quickly rewarded because it was so different. Within 18 months, I went from literally bankrupt because I quit the job. I tried to do the book, went bankrupt doing that, and didn't know what I was doing, to learning online marketing, applying, you know, the discipline of what you and I talk about in our own mindset and performance. And in 18 months, had become a millionaire and had sold my books. I came out with the very first personal development online courses. That was me. Like literally the very first ones. Our first, like I'll never forget my first refund, dude, was because people were getting frustrated with the, you know, when you watch the video and, it'd take like 7 minutes to watch 2 minutes of a video and people were freaked out. And so we were early. We're talking about full course online personal development courses in 2006 and 7. So it was really early. And so we that took off. That's 25 online courses ago. 2 million students through those courses in 190 countries. Gave me a monster platform to also then do my other passion, which is research. So, you know, even just 4 years ago, we conducted the world's largest study of high performers that's ever been done, academically supported by the University of Pennsylvania, Positive Psychology Department, and UC Santa Barbara psychologists. Largest study that's ever been done of high performers, which is essentially like the top, depending on the field or category, the top 10 or 15% of most successful people who also maintained well-being and positive relationships. So we measured them, and that is what the research study that you fueled my book, High Performance Habits. So what I love about your podcast, this is a long way to go about it, but it's like you and I dork about similar things. We had similar journeys, and we similarly obsess about things. And yours so much about physiology and health, but obviously recently so much more about, you know, your holistic approach is why I listen to the podcast.
Yeah,
so
well, I will try not to take offense that you just alluded to our similar journeys, because there's no way in hell that I grew up in Butte or Butte, Montana. I'm an Idaho boy. I'm an Idaho boy. So I had to step up in life because I started in the panhandle. My wife's from Montana. So anyways, you obviously could talk about performance habits till the cows come home and success until the cows come home. And I know that you talk about that a lot. Like you have your own podcast, you have all these wonderful books that I'm going to link to in the show notes. But I because I know you have such a passion now for health, for sleep, for biohacks, for supplements, for workouts, for meals, I kind of want to delve into maybe some of the stuff that you haven't had a chance to kind of get into so deeply, like your own life, how you take care of yourself and what your own, you know, performance habits, so to speak, are, as far as how you're just brass tacks keeping yourself put together. So you're in Puerto Rico right now, right?
Yeah, we are. I've moved here. We were in Portland, Oregon for 8 years, which we loved, but man, I just remember my car accident began, you know, in the Caribbean. And my journey of personal development began in the Caribbean. I always thought, you know, someday I'll move down there, maybe when I retire and stuff. And then a couple of years ago, the gray was getting us to in Puerto Rico, and we started deciding to be snowbirds. And we thought, well, you know, we looked at everywhere, you know, San Diego and Florida and Austin and other places. And I was like, I'd rather just be in the Caribbean. And so we started coming down for that. And we fell in love and made the move, because it's also great for my health, because I get in the ocean, can't swim worth crap, but I love it. I, you know, get to run on the beach and get to live in it. But
legally avoiding the 37% federal rate tax in the U.S. is also a nice little perk there as well.
Yeah, the funniest thing, that was the last thing I learned about.
Really? Like everybody I know who moves to Puerto Rico, it's an income tax of 4% down there?
If you start for those who start a services-based business down here, it's a 4% tax rate, and which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But you know, I moved down for the sun and the Caribbean and the people. But that's definitely a perk for some of our businesses.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so my morning here.
Yeah, well, I want to get into it. Let's start there. Let's start with your morning. What's your morning routine look like?
So I get up and I do a 20-20-20. So I get up and I do 20 minutes of stretching and mobility every morning. Just get up and start stretching out my body. It's not my workout for the day. It's just rolling around on the ground, doing calisthenics, getting the heart rate up a little bit, but mostly yoga type flow. Mm-hmm. Then I spend 20 minutes after that reading. And it's always, you know, it's always philosophy, personal development, psychology, or spirituality.
Okay, so as a guy who also reads in the morning, and for me, actually, I'll read my spiritual thing in bed, and then my reading after I do a little bit of morning body work, which is kind of similar to yours, is more like research and kind of catching up on any studies for the day. But it begs the question, where do you read? Because for me, it's naked, sandwiched in between two big red light panels, typically with some kind of other lights on my face or shoved into my skull or my nasal cavities. But I'm curious if you're multitasking while you read, or if you're just sitting out in the sunshine.
Usually I am sitting in our living room, got 20 ounces of green tea next to me, and it's 'cause when I wake up, I immediately drink 20 ounces of cold water. Mm-hmm. Then I do that 20 minutes of mobility yoga. Then I do 20 minutes of reading, which is timed. I literally keep it to 20 minutes. And I usually have a 20 ounces of green tea during that time. And it's just on a chair. And I have a journal and the book. And that's it. Sometimes the cat comes over and completely messes it up. But, you know, usually it's like that.
Yeah.
And then I do 20 minutes with my planner. I built this thing called the High Performance Planner, and used to be just on tons of, you know, papers and journals and notebooks. I finally thought people want to know how I did my life, and so I do that. And the High Performance Planner is basically you ask yourself 10 prompts to get your mind right and your priorities right for the morning. Then you fill out what you're going to do during the day. Even if it's in the calendar, you still write it out, and then you write kind of bullets of what would make that successful. Then in the evening, you ask another 10 prompts about your day, and then you score yourself on specific habits. And what
that sounds very similar to the, I mean, ancient practice of, well, it's called Examine, E-X-A-M-E-N, the Examine of Consciousness that Benjamin Franklin probably made most popular when he came out with his self-examination journal that he would do at the end of each day. This is actually what you're describing is a topic near and dear to my heart right now, because I'm taking my boys, our entire family actually, through this workbook called the Spiritual Disciplines Workbook. And we are in the chapter right now on Examine. So at the end of every day, we're examining not just our successes, like, well, what is it that we're grateful for? What do we do well? But also, what do we suck at? What aren't we grateful about? You know, what could we have done better? And so we're doing this right now as a family, this process of self-examination in the evenings.
Dude, I love that. I love that. The evening questions in the High Performance Planner are, a moment that I really appreciated today was a situation or task I handled well today was something I realized or learned that was impactful today was I could have made today even better if I ... Mm-hmm. Something that could have helped me feel more connected to other people today would have been. And then last question, if I was my own coach, my own high performance coach, I would tell myself this statement about today. Mm-hmm. And then you do a scorecard on your habits, which we found from the research, the 6 primary habits that affect performance long-term for people are clarity, energy, necessity, productivity, influence, and courage. And I rate each of those on a scale of 1 to 5. Hmm. And so I'll send you one if you don't have a high performance planner.
Yeah. So this is something people can buy, like you actually have this available.
Yeah, it was only for our seminar people for years, and then it kind of took off, and now it's, you know, hundreds and thousands of copies of these a year. So
is it on Amazon?
Yep, it is.
Okay. Down to backpedaling real quick, and then I want to get back to what you're doing after you fill out that planner. Cold water. Why cold? Because the reason I ask is I've really gotten into Ayurvedic medicine recently, and, you know, the practice of tongue scraping and coconut oil pulling and dry skin brushing, you know, lymph shaking, all these practices that I think are pretty wise from the ancestral practice of Ayurvedic medicine. But one big thing for them is they treat cold water almost like poison in the morning because it dampens the fire and can slow down peristalsis, et cetera. And so I've kind of shifted towards lukewarm or warm for my big glass mason jar of water that I have in the morning. But is there a particular reason you do cold besides the fact that you're in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, just my reaction. That's it. Mm. I don't have a philosophy on it per se of like, I just notice the difference if I have lukewarm water in the morning and I go into that 20 minutes of yoga flow versus just some cold water. And I'm not saying there's, you know, piles of ice in this thing. It's more chilled water. Mm-hmm. And that cold water somehow makes me feel like the morning has hit my mouth. I have no idea how to describe.
Yeah. Another part of it, though, could be, too, because in Ayurvedic medicine, they classify people as Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. And some people who are, like, super Pitta, like really warm, fiery people, and they typically are, like kind of sharp, intelligent people. I would imagine you might fall into that Pitta category, and maybe the cold's just, like, maybe you're too warm, you're too fiery in the morning, you're too ready to get going. The cold water just kind of balances you out a little bit.
Yeah, I could. I mean, to me, it's a similar effect, not a similar effect, but same reason I like a cold shower in the morning. You know, just, I don't know, just it's a change in sensation and state, I guess. And I think, you know, because then I'm going to hit that hot water, I'm going to hit that green tea, you know, within another 20 minutes. So I feel pretty balanced about that. Main thing is just, to me, whatever you do, get 20 ounces of water in, you know? And then here's the thing on the planner too, because I don't want to make it seem just about the planner. The most important thing is people are always like, but the planner could take like 5 or 7 minutes. What are you doing in the next 13 minutes? Because you're 20 minutes, I time it. And mm-hmm. the difference for me, and this is huge, which you'll appreciate for performance, so a lot are, you know, other achievers out here, which is, I look at the day, I plan the day, but then for each of the major activities or items, I sit there with the planner, I close my eyes, I visualize doing the thing, And I ask myself, how can I do that thing with joy and excellence? And so like this, you and me are doing this right now. I already did this at 7 a.m. with you this morning.
All right. Bye. I'll talk to you later. We're done. This podcast is over. It's already been done.
I was like, already, whatever it was, you know, 7:30 a.m. this morning, I was writing down. I was like, oh, I'm with Ben today. That's awesome. How can I enjoy this and bring excellence to it? I was like, oh, okay, well, enjoy. I'll just make sure my body's in a good place. I'll make sure I get my standing guests going. I'll make sure my environment is in a way in which I really enjoy it, so I can just be there with him because, you know, I love this guy. And then, you know, with excellence, I was like, well, I'm just going to show up authentically and let him go wherever. I know you had sent some questions. I didn't look at them today. I just wanted to be in the moment. And I thought, you know, let me just convey my story and let me convey some ways that I tactically move through the day from my morning routine, but also my supplements and my foods and my workouts and anything that I haven't gotten to share, because this is the format for that. So let's just go. And so I kind of visualize and think through things for that 20-minute morning. And that's really key. That 20-minute slot is just whatever the activities are, I visualize it and ask, how could I do it with joy and excellence? And then I jot down notes about it. And then by the time I shut that thing, I'm primed to win the day.
Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You got to check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. You put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their Sexual Performance Booster, again by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. Usejoymode.com/greenfield. They'll give you 20% off your first order. Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses. And keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a Rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just 3 times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com. Okay, so you're also, I would assume, based on that, doing some kind of like intermittent fasting or compressed feeding, because that's a lot of stuff to do in the morning, and you haven't mentioned breakfast yet. So do you fast for a while when you get up?
Yeah, I didn't. You know, it's so funny. I didn't know it was a thing until about 3 years ago, but I don't, you know, I've always about 14 hours between, you know, dinner and breakfast. And breakfast for me is usually a shake. And, you know, you and I dork out on shakes. You more than me,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, well, so does my audience. So fill folks in on your shake.
Yeah, it's plant-based protein, usually 25 grams of plant-based protein. It's water.
You mean like a powder, like a pea or a rice or a hemp type of protein powder?
Yeah. It's mostly, it's almost a combination of those things with chia as well. And then I throw in almond butter, spinach or kale. I throw in blueberries. I throw in, flax, chia, and avocado.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you take digestive enzymes when you have that morning smoothie?
It is. It's in my, cause I also take essentials with it.
Okay.
I don't know if you have, we have a performance line of supplements, and one is called H Essentials, and it does have digestive enzymes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, the reason I ask is I also typically will do like a pea or a rice or a hemp protein or sometimes just like some colostrum or some collagen in my big-ass morning smoothie, but I take digestive enzymes if I do the plant protein because they've actually shown the amino acid bioavailability of the protein can get as high as animal protein if you can consume a digestive enzyme with your plant protein. So yeah, that's a little tip for folks, and that's good that your formula has the enzyme in it because that'll help out with the plant protein being more bioavailable.
Yeah, I'm just looking now. It's got 25 milligrams of amylase, cellulase, lactase, lipase, and protease.
Cool, perfect, awesome. So
that's big. Also, though, dude, in the last year, I put in just a half a scoop of your amino acids, Keon, and total difference maker. So I'll do half a scoop of the amino acids with the shake. And then also before my afternoon workout, I'll do the other half scoop before the workout, only because for somehow a full scoop for me really turns me a little too beasty. So it seems to help. I don't know if it keeps my energy more flat through the day, but that really works for me. And I love that product, dude.
Yeah. Well, 4 months ago, I would have told you not to put it in your smoothie because the absorption's better without food. But then they just came out with a study like 2 months ago showing that when you add amino acids in with any other protein powder, it actually increases muscle protein synthesis when you have EAAs added to any type of smoothie that has like a protein powder in it. So it turns out that it actually can be used to upgrade a shake, so to speak.
That's the way I thought about it from the get. Cool. Was this is going to be great for my protein. So what I do is I take two supplements in the morning. I'll take HPX Essentials, HPX Optimized, which is something we developed at High Performance Institute over, you know, 3 brutal years. As you know, supplements were way harder than we thought. But one is just my, like a functional multivitamin, kind of boosted up for longevity, joint health, vitality. And then I take HPX Optimized, which is our brain health mental focus supplement. And so those two, just with the shake and the green tea, I'm on, man. I'm ready for the day.
Nice. Okay. So once you've got all that out of the way, what about workouts? When are you actually doing a workout aside from that mobility type of routine that you do in the morning? Are you kind of like weaving physical activity in throughout the day? Cause you mentioned your standing desk or what's your physical movement / workout protocol look like?
It really does follow my workflow for the day. So I work in 50-minute blocks of time. So we've been teaching block time since 2000.
Did you say 15 or 50?
50.
Okay.
50. Yeah, 15-minute blocks of time. The world's largest study on productivity that's ever been done from data was actually a productivity app, and they found that the most productive people take breaks at 52 minutes.
Yeah, I remember seeing that, yeah.
And we've been teaching, I've been teaching 50 minutes since 2008. So just this, the idea of block time, you know, popularized by like deep work later on, but we've been doing that in our high performance seminars for years, which was really based on like this 50-minute ideal workflow for focus. So 50 minutes, I'm usually sitting or standing, but whatever, at the end of that 50 minutes, my buzzer goes off. I stand up if I'm not already standing. I close my eyes. I bounce in place, sort of bouncing slightly at the knees, and I do Qigong, like a full body meridian opening Qigong work. Take 10 deep breaths while doing that. Then I might, just seeing how I'm feel, might stretch out on the floor, do a few vinyasa flows, go get 20 ounces of water, drink that, fill up the 20 ounces of water again, come back. And then before I start working in, I close my eyes and I say, what's my intention for this next hour? And even if it's already scheduled, I go, so that little movement every 50 minutes is a big deal. I tend to do my workouts around the 4 o'clock time. Not always, but at least every other day at 4 o'clock is probably my schedule. And for that, I usually do like I'm thinking about how long it takes me to get to the gym. It's about 5 minute walk, then a 5 minute jog. Then I'm at the gym, I stretch out for 5 minutes, and then I'm usually lifting heavy, doing more complex things like, you know, squat thrusters, hex bar deadlifts, a lot of like more full bodied weightlifting than like the bodybuilding stuff.
Now this begs the question, by the way, not to rabbit hole too much, but we're having this chat during the coronavirus pandemic. Is the gym closed? And if so, have you had to adapt to work out at home?
Yeah, the gym's closed. So that sucks. And then they closed the beach. So at first the beach was open, so I was just going swimming. I was just running and swimming.
Which is one of the healthiest things, like in terms of the negative ions, the water, the minerals, the photons of sunlight. One of the worst things you can do is limit people's ability to get outside right now. I think it's ridiculous that parks are closed.
I agree, man. And I'm 30 yards from the ocean. So it just, it kills me not being able to go out there. I'm looking at it right now and I can't go do anything about it. So what I did is we were moving between homes, and so we don't have a home gym set up because the gym was here. So I ordered really quickly a bench, hex bar, 7 foot bar, you know, a bunch of plates, 60 pound kettlebell, 35 pound dumbbells, 40 pound dumbbells, and a couple mats. And they all showed up like right before things got, you know, really, really difficult. So that's been huge. So I'm still getting the workout in the house if I have to, you know, use the weights. And that's really helped me. And then I just boosted my immunity. I already have immunity stuff kind of unlock in our supplements. You know, I just added a little extra to it. So like in general, I'm always taking some kind of longevity blend, which is like astragalus, resveratrol, chaga. Those are big. You know, I've increased, you know, things like echinacea, olive leaf, zinc. We already have a mushroom compound that we take. I think you take the same one, like Stamets Daily Immunity.
Yeah, it kind of sounds similar to me. Like there's so many things that I take, you know, from my big anti-aging smoothie that I have in the morning that has a ton of sirtuins and NAD precursors and, you know, is rich in ascorbic acid, to the, you know, vitamin C I add to my morning glass of water, to the beta glucans I've been putting in my coffee for a long time. Like there is very little I personally change from a supplementation standpoint.
Yeah, your personal development habits are showing up now. Like you can see how much you had to shift for your health and wellness. Like right. Coronavirus is going to be that demarcation line, because most of my friends and guys like you and me, we kind of, there's not, I mean, I'm having more garlic with dinner maybe. I mean, not much of a big shift because we already had that unlock, which I really love, because people's personal development really has shown up. You know, it's really become clear. Yeah. How prepared people were for health and wellness.
And it's also going to be important too, if a vaccination gets rolled out, the efficacy of the antigenic response to a vaccine is going to be vastly improved if you have things like good vitamin D status, good zinc status, good immune system function from things like beta-glucans and mushrooms and sunlight exposure, and exercise is huge in terms of a proper antigenic response. So, you know, let's just say a vaccine comes along, and, you know, for me personally, I'll always raise an eyebrow and look at any adjuvants added, or, you know, how much thimerosal or, you know, aluminum or things like that are in it, and the delivery mechanism and the efficacy and the research on it. I'm not opposed to vaccinations, but I can tell you right now, if you're not already thinking about preparing your body to have a good antigenic response to a vaccination, then you'll be kind of behind the eight ball. And so, you know, keeping up these type of immune supporting activities, even if you don't feel like you've been exposed, or if you're doing a really good job quarantining, like it's a good idea if you plan on getting vaccinated, especially if, you know, if vaccinations are required for you to return to, you know, normal societal functioning, you want to keep equipping your body with everything it needs for a normal immune response.
The add on top of immunity that everyone should be thinking about, and this is, you know, near and dear to my heart, and definitely selfishly stated, which is people should be very thoughtful about taking some type of brain health blend and taking some supplementation that's really focused on helping them get mental clarity, reduce stress, and really optimize the functioning of their brain. Because right now, hands down impacting way more people than coronavirus is the fear, the stress, the overwhelm, the uncertainty. And, you know, if all you're doing is just drinking tons of coffee, which, by the way, nothing against coffee, but if it's just caffeine all the time, you're just frying yourself out. And there has to be something to help people optimize their brain. So I'm telling everyone, it's like, if you've never experimented with nootropics, this is the time to finally do that. We've got a blend called HPX Optimized, and that's got stuff like rhodiola, you know, alpha lipoic acid, lion's mane, alpha GPC, ginkgo, phosphatidylserine, hoop A, you know, acetyl L-carnitine, quercetin, chaga, cordyceps, CoQ10, like that type of blend. It's a great time to experiment with that, because if your emotions and your mind has been completely frazzled, obviously consult your doctor. I'm not a health advisor, but, you know, I had a brain injury, as you know, Ben, in 2011, and that took me way deep into the brain supplementation stuff. I mean, way deep, because I had, you know, that's when I'm starting to get the calls from the big celebrities and the people on covers of magazines to coach them, not as a physical performance coach. When I do high performance coaches, mental and productivity. And I had to figure it out. My butt was on the line. I had a multi-million dollar book contract at the time. I couldn't write. I couldn't focus. I mean, I was super frazzled, massive brain fog from a post-concussive syndrome. I was in deep hurting. But I only bring that up because I optimize my brain, and I've got that, just like I've got immunity. I agree with what you're saying. It's like the environment for you to thrive and survive with coronavirus or after being vaccinated is way better.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, with the brain thing, I think you could make an argument for coffee and cigarettes and LSD, but you know, certainly supplying the brain with the proper nutrients and neurotransmitter precursors and minerals, I think it is a very smart move. And it's actually something, you know, I kind of wanted to ask, because a lot of people consider that to be something that falls into the realm of biohacking, right? The use of smart drugs or nootropics or microdosing with psychedelics or anything like that. But you know, I talk to a lot of these high performance folks, you know, whether it's, you know, Tony Robbins is a good example. You know, there are some others out there who are really into this minimal effective dose of exercise, or this idea of enhancing recovery dramatically. And so, you know, you see people using things like the Vasper and the biocharger and hyperbaric chambers and infrared devices. Are you messing around with any of that kind of stuff? Like, would you consider yourself to be a biohacker in any sense of the word? And if so, you know, what do you mess around with?
Yeah, I'm just a performance guy. I want long-term performance. So because of the brain injury, yeah, we own a hyperbaric chamber. And that's been a big part of my process for a long time, since 2011. I would say the greatest biohacking, really, to me, for long-term performance is, you know, we call it meds RX. So you take your meds, meditation, exercise, diet, and sleep. Add RX. R is deep relationships, And X is the X factor of supplementation that you specifically need for your body and your performance needs. Mm-hmm. I'm somebody who, you know, my performance needs, like I do more hours than anybody in our industry in terms of single trainer events. So I do a 5-day seminar and I'm on stage from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. just me for 5 days. For me, for five days. Each day I do over a marathon of steps. And, you know, I got to eat 6,000 calories a day.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, does your nutrition plan kind of change? Or are you using, you know, things like ketones or extra aminos or, you know, or different strategies? Because that's a huge amount. You know, you hear about, you know, again, you're probably sick of hearing about guys like this. But, you know, you hear about like Tony Robbins, same thing, that he, you know, runs a marathon or whatever, or the equivalent of one, you know, during one of his weekend conferences. It sounds like you're doing something similar. So I'm curious, you know, behind the scenes for people who might be interested in how you're optimizing your body with that amount of throughput. Are there some extra little things that you throw in besides LSD on days like that?
I mean, you came to my event, you might wonder with all the dancing, jumping, clapping. Yeah, Tony's a great friend, by the way, and a great mentor and a great buddy. I've been able to serve in a lot of ways too, from being on his stages to him being on my stages. And we've done a lot of programs together.
Yeah. You know, you're talking to a guy who's so disconnected from like the personal and self-improvement industry that when we're talking, the only reason I've mentioned Tony Robbins a few times is he's like one of the only other guys I know in this sector.
Yeah, no, he's a beast. You know, with our events, they're so curriculum driven and they're, you know, different hours. And since I don't have anybody, he's got other speakers and trainers and he shows a lot of video at his events of him speaking in the past to save him time on stages. I don't do any of that. So it's just me. Mm-hmm. Honestly, at first I was an idiot. I was losing on average about 11 pounds an event. Because this output is so much,
yeah.
Which some people are like, that's great. What a great, you know, fat loss routine. Just do seminars. I do eight a year, and these are with thousands of people. So if I'm losing 11 pounds 8 times a year, that's eventually going to kill me because it's terrible for your heart to yo-yo like that.
Right, and your leptin sensitivity too. That's why you see a lot of weight rebounds in athletes who cycle throughout the year, like MMA athletes or cyclists. Once they quit, they've really struggled with metabolic disorder because it screws up your leptin sensitivity pretty dramatically to go through intense periods of fat loss followed by weight gain.
Yeah, that's it. It was honestly, and I didn't even know. I had you know, we tracked a lot of the guys from the high performance world who are you know, more of the physiology type coaches and trainers. And we had a world-class cyclist there who won a bunch of awards and came up to me and said, hey, man, how did you just do that? Because, you know, for anyone listening, if you've ever spoken on stage for an hour or two, you're exhausted.
Yeah.
If you do it for 9 hours a day for 5 days, you're an athlete. I mean, it's a completely different thing. So he told me that, which I didn't realize. I was just like, oh, man, I'm happy. He's like, no, kid, how much are you eating? Let me strap this thing around your leg. So he straps the thing around me. He's like, you're doing a marathon a day for 5 days. What are you eating? And I didn't honestly change it up that much. Now at my events, I eat, you know, on average 3.5 to 4 times more per day in just straight up calorie intake than I usually do. Much more high in fats than I used to do. Much more supplementation, you know, 60 to 80 grams more of supplementation of protein per day. Much more supplementation for nootropic, not with caffeine, but just to help the brain process that much memory. You know, to give an hour presentation with no notes, that takes a lot. To do it for 9 hours, it's another level, especially when you're going down in the audience, you're interacting, you got to be on the, you know, thing. So that's really hard. My sleep, which we'll talk about, is super amplified. I get insanely OCD about the sleep at the events. And then every single night, 2 nights before the event, every night of the event, and 3 nights after, I do ice baths. And that knocks out, you know, for me, the inflammation re-energizes me, puts my butt, you know, into a place where I can sleep for 8 hours straight. And that's all really key.
Amazing. So, regarding sleep, you probably have your at-home sleep habits and then the type of sleep habits or the extra things you might implement when you're on those really intensive days. So what would like a normal sleep routine look like? And then what little things might you add in, whether it be extra supplements or extra routines if you're doing one of these more high performance, high pressure conferences?
Yeah, normal, like last night, I just practiced what I call 3-2-1 sleep, which is 3-2-1. Three stands for I don't have any food 3 hours before bed. Then two stands for I don't do any work 2 hours before bed. Mm-hmm. Then no creative work, no email work, no, just no work at all. Then 1 hour before bed, no screen time at all. No phone, no social media, no television. Usually maybe a book or maybe a walk. I like to take a stroll in the dark and just let the night air get on me a little bit. Come home, do some simple stretch, you know, and obviously for those who don't know my brand, I am married, and Denise and I have, you know, our own way of just catching up each night and talking about our day and our appreciation for things. And then we go to bed. I don't take any supplementation at all other than probably about that 1 hour mark before bed, I take some extra magnesium, mm-hmm. Which really helps because I'm a good sleeper because I've been just trained. I used to be a terrible sleeper, and then I realized I'm just not going to get out of bed for 8 hours. Yeah. I'm just going to lay there. If it's miserable, if I wake up in five, I'm going to lay there and I'll meditate.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how the advice goes back and forth of that. Some people like don't train yourself into insomnia by laying awake in bed at night. If you can't get back to sleep within 20 minutes, get up, do something, you know, be productive, uh-huh. and then go back to bed. And then other people are just like, have your ass planted in bed for 80, you know, don't care what you do. And I think probably the latter advice is better if you actually are using that time to meditate or do breath work, because you can actually simulate sleep cycles with things like yoga nidra and long periods of 4-7-8 breathing. And, you know, I've personally had mornings where I wake up at like, you know, 4 a.m. and I know my ass should probably stay in bed another couple hours. And I'll just meditate literally for 2 hours, 4 count in, 8 count out, over and over and over again, put on some peaceful and relaxing music. And then when I check my, I use the Oura Ring to track sleep. When I check the score in the morning, it's so good. It fools the ring into thinking that you're still in your sleep cycles. Nice. So yeah, I'm of the persuasion that you stay in bed, but if you're going to stay in bed, it's not on your phone or reading a book. It's just doing meditation and breath work.
I'm the same thing. I would add to that creative visualization in that if you learn to kind of create and play a movie that's similar every time and you're breathing or like interspersed with meditation, or you kind of fall in or out of your meditation, to have a visualization that can go along with it, you kind of return to. It's that old saying, like that's where that old philosophy of counting sheep came from. Was it's just returning to a normal movie in your mind that puts you asleep. So some people, you know, they visualize themselves, you know, playing baseball or getting ready to bat over and over, and they knock it out of the park, or they have, you know, some romantic scene or something. But anyway, whatever it is, that really helps. At my events, it's definitely different, because that 3-2-1, while the 2-1 are relevant, I need to eat in that last 3 hours so that my body is recovering more. So I'll have another shake about 3 hours, probably almost 2 hours before bed, just to make sure I get through the evening. I'll also take additional supplementation with magnesium, vitamin C, and GABA. And those do pretty good for me.
GABA is amazing at settling you down.
Yeah. Yeah. And that one I do take earlier, you know, I think that one's probably call it a 3 hour mark. Because I don't want the effects. I don't want to feel that in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I'm really sensitive about that. And then, sometimes if I'm just really feeling, sometimes just the stress is really on me, or I feel just super, you know, keyed up before my ice bath, I'll take like 5-HTP with the GABA. And somehow that kind of gets me in a better mood and mindset before bed somehow. But honestly, the magic for me is the rolling out, the stretching, the yoga to open up my body, and then hitting that ice bath. And I do anywhere between 13 and 15 minutes with about 10 bags of ice in the.
Oh wow! So you do pretty long. You do pretty long soak. Like I personally might do like, you know, 3-5 minutes max. So that's pretty. So you're doing that daily, that long?
I do it, 2 days before the event, and then because I don't want to shock myself.
Right.
When you go to the event, you don't want to do everything brand new. It really, that took me, I don't know, like 5 years to learn like a dummy, but I was like, you need to like when you roll into an event, especially a super crazy performance situation like that, you got to be, you know, you want to be on a rhythm.
Oh, it's like, you know, when I used to do an Ironman triathlon, the last thing you would do is try some new nutrient or new supplement or new food strategy the day of the race. Like you always had to set aside at least one weekend in the 4 weeks leading up to practice exactly what you planned on for race day.
Dude, that's so key. And I'm surprised people don't realize that, how important that is for performance. If you're speaking on stage or you're going to go to that, a big meeting, it's like they get up and their whole day is different for that big meeting. It's like, oh no. I mean, that's just creating a lot of jitters.
Right. Save my special expensive nootropic just for the day of the event and find out halfway through it gives me explosive diarrhea.
Exactly. You really want to have your, like your A game should be primed by the time you do the A game activities. So the ice bath for me, yeah, I fill up the tub probably a quarter of the way. I'm just cold water. I put in at that time, 8 scoops of Epsom salt, and then, start the bags of ice going in. And I usually get about probably half the bags of ice in, and then I get in, and then I start a podcast. Half the time I'm laying there naked in ice thinking, listen to Ben Greenfield. So don't let that weird you out.
Known to cause shrinkage.
It's that deep lulling voice mm-hmm. that calls me down.
Yeah.
And then I'll lay in there and I'm all the way up to my neck. So completely submerged up to my neck. And then I'll put in, at about the 5 minute mark, which is the super pain point for me. It's like, obviously the first 30 seconds sucks. And then, 90 seconds later, it sucks again. And then, you kind of work yourself through it with your breath work by, 2-3 minutes, you're finding a rhythm, at least for me now. And then after about 5 minutes, I'll put in the rest of the bags of the ice because it's not as painful, it feels like. Maybe that's stupid. And then, usually about the 13-minute mark, I definitely want out. The only reason when I'm at my house before the events, I don't do it that long. I might only do like 5 minutes. But at the events, I mean, I'm hurting. I stand that entire time from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. I barely ever sit. I mean, definitely at lunch I sit and I consume massive amounts of tacos at lunch. That's my thing at lunch. I just need as many calories, clean burning, knows how it affects me kind of thing. And then dinner is almost always salmon, lots of kale, lots of veggies, shake. And that keeps me going, man.
Nice. I dig it. You know, by the way, all those bags of ice sound laborious. Have you looked into the, I don't know if we talked about this when I was talking with you earlier, the Marazco Forge ice bath?
No.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I have. That's on my office right now. I've been climbing in that thing at the end of the day. So every day, especially during this coronavirus pandemic, I've been doing breath work, heat and cold. And so I've totally altered my evening routine, cut my workouts down to about 15 to 20 minutes, and then taking the extra 30 minutes that frees up for me. I heat up the sauna when I start my workout, get in, do a bunch of really deep, intensive breath work in the sauna, almost a little bit more of like I'm not opposed to the idea of relaxation breath work and parasympathetic breath work, but I'm doing more kind of like Wim Hof style immune boosting breath work, which is a little bit more intensive, a little bit more workouty. And then, I've got a deep sweat going on. Then I get in the cold tub for about 3 to 5 minutes and do box breathing. But the cold tub I'm using now, I just got a few months ago. It's one of my new toys. It's called a Marazco Forge. And I literally have to break through the ice to get in. It maintains about 31 degrees, even if it's like 110 degrees outside. And it is automatically cleaned with UV and ozone. So you don't have to like clean it out. You don't have to change out the ice. It's slick. Like it's like my new favorite cold tub toy because it just saves me a ton on ice, on filling, on refilling, on adding hydrogen peroxide, all this other stuff. So yeah, that would be something if you ever get tired of moving the ice in and out of that tub to look into.
Let's find out if they'll just send one down to Puerto Rico.
I bet they'd figure it out.
I have a bonus one at my event. Sometimes at my events, I'll have a mobile unit come up that does mobile cryo, and I'll only do that maybe every 15 events. But yeah. The other aspect about it is just the nutrition thing that really helps me for the performance side I didn't share about, which is like everyone's asking, do you drink caffeine? And I'm really careful about caffeine at events because it can really affect your vocal cords.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and so we have to be really sensitive about everything you're drinking. You shouldn't do the hot tea and water and you know, honey things. That's terrible for your voice. So instead, what I'll do is I'll do like a performance blend, which I thought you'd dig, because I've actually never shared this before. But it's a performance blend of organic beetroot, goji berry, coconut water for electrolytes, maca root, eleuthero, schisandra, rhodiola, and then 60 milligrams of organic green tea caffeine.
Nice.
And that little blend, man, is just, I mean, you know the benefits of all those, but that is like a heightened performance energy I get, obviously, from the beetroot and eleuthero. The maca really does a good job of like evening out my as a guy, my hormone levels, but also my blood sugar levels.
Yeah, that kind of sounds kind of similar to the Drew Canole. My buddy Drew has a company, Organifi, and they make a red juice powder. It's very similar to that. So it's like cordyceps, beet, eleuthero, like some rhodiola, some ginseng, but same thing. Like you mix that stuff up in super cold water in like a Nalgene water bottle. I have no clue if they're a sponsor of today's show, but now they have to be. But yeah, same thing.
Because our product's called HBX Boost.
Okay, so that's your product. Can people get that one on Amazon?
By the time they listen to this, they will. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll link to it for people.
Yeah. It's all organic, which is a big deal. I know. And I love that. I love you do Organifi too. And you know what a lot of people don't understand? When you're recommending Organifi, that is a nootropic. And I think that's what people, you know, there's this idea that biohacking is this weird, you know, weird land of things that doesn't mix with, you know, our regular lives are trying to maintain, you know, alkalinity and taking greens and things like that. It's like, oh no, if you're taking anything organic.
Yeah, I mean, freaking sunlight's a nootropic. I mean, when you look at what it does to nitric oxide production in neural tissue and, you know, upregulation of cytochrome C oxidase and mitochondria. I mean, you know, granted, it works better if you've got dark compounds in your bloodstream like chlorella or, you know, melanin from chaga or methylene blue or something else that helps the sunlight to charge you up, or even just minerals. But yeah, I mean, like you could classify a lot as a nootropic for sure.
Yeah, I think it's really important to people. I think that will help people overcome, like, oh, I don't know if I should take brain supplements. I'm like, you probably kind of are, you just don't know. So why not optimize and figure it out?
Yeah. Okay. I want to ask you a few other questions, just like, you know, kind of a little bit more of like a rapid fire type of format here.
Sure.
One is, in your office, cause you do a lot of work from home, are you doing anything to manage, you know, exposure to electricity? Are you aware of non-native EMF? Like, are you kind of pulling out any of those type of building biology type of hacks?
Yeah, probably not. Definitely not levels you do, which is super smart. For me, I'm really more, same thing with you. I went back to regular incandescent lights. I don't have Wi-Fi in my office. Everything's by cable.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I'm super tweaked by the Wi-Fi stuff and the power of that now, especially, you know, especially with mesh networks when you're surrounded.
Well, I mean, it caused coronavirus. We all know that now. That's
I
obvious.
I saw that on the internet somewhere.
Yeah. Didn't you see the YouTube video?
No, but I believe it.
It's about eight billion of them.
Oh my gosh. You know, the best thing I do is probably every two of those 50-minute work blocks is I just go outside in the sun, since mm-hmm. we're in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And I just go out with flip-flops on, and I'll take my shoes off and I'll just ground a little bit.
Yeah.
And come back in, and that's probably better than anything else I do. I'm sure you could give me a lot of advice on other EMF stuff I should do though.
Yeah, well, I mean, sunlight and earthing to mitigate the effects, that's huge. But, you know, when I had a building biology come through, or building biologist come through my house and just test a bunch of stuff, you know, what's working, what isn't, what's producing EMF, what's producing flicker, his name was Brian Hoyer. You know, I'll link to it in the show notes if you guys want to listen to the full episode. And he's supposed to fly up here if this quarantine blows over, and we're going to do another one in about a month here. But the thing that was most dramatic, if I give you one thing, Brennan, it was dirty electricity filters. So I got these filters from a company called Shielded Healing, and you just need one in like every outlet of a room that's fed off the same breaker. And that plummeted the amount of dirty EMF or electrical surges in the room. So that was probably the biggest change, which is a super, super dirt cheap, easy. You just plug some into the wall and that's it. So That made a huge difference. Okay, so another question that I have for you is, you know, a little bit unrelated to the health stuff, but I think it would be interesting for folks, because as you mentioned, you read a lot, which means that you, you know, not only are you tuned into some of the better books out there, but you probably follow, you know, some different authors or thought leaders. And so kind of a two-part question. What books in the past month or two have you read that you think are kind of non-negotiables for people who either want to bring their performance or their health to the next level? And then B, who are you following right now, whether it's an author or a thought leader or someone like that on Twitter or Instagram or wherever you personally tend to kind of like follow people or soak up advice?
Oh, man, that's good. Well, first, totally not to kiss ass, but yours. Your podcast and Boundless. I'm still working through Boundless. And that thing is a beast. And I am dedicated.
Don't feel bad. I wrote it to take people a long time to get through.
No, dude, it's actually genius. And everybody listening to this needs that book because it's not just some, it's also a resource manual. If you ever hear like, oh, what is CoQ10? Should I do it? What's its effect on my performance? You open Ben's book. So it's like kind of everything there from like supplementation, but also to like balance and exercise routines.
Ugh, I mean, it's just thanks, man. Your check's in the mail.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that, guys. But for real, that's a good one. So last month's books. A couple of things that really helped in this last month, especially with the pandemic going on. I reread Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. Mm-hmm. I do not believe we can ever talk about performance without purpose and meaning. And so always revisiting your spirituality or books that inspire meaning is important. And Viktor Frankl went through the Holocaust. And, you know, his single line of talking about how you can take everything from a person, from a human, but the last of our human freedoms is our ability to choose our own attitude. And so as soon as the pandemic started, I said, listen, let's adopt role model mindsets through this. Let's be the role model. Let's have the attitude of a role model through this, because it will pass at some point. And yes, it will be. It's a very serious and scary, unprecedented thing. And attitude really matters.
Yeah.
So for me to just refresh my attitude, I reread two books, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl, and then Benjamin Hoff's book, The Tao of Poo. And I know the Tao of Poo is about,
really?
Yes, you got to read it, dude. It is the story of Tao, as in T-A-O, like the Tao Te Ching.
Right.
So it's basically, if you took the Tao Te Ching and you overlaid literally Winnie the Pooh's story with Christopher Robin, now you learn how to de-stress.
Okay, so it's not a book about constipation.
It's not about constipation.
Poo bear.
And I will tell you, it was life-changing to me early in my life. And so I read it again because it's just about how do you go with the flow when the world conspires to make you fearful of the flow. And so I read that again just to get my mind reset. That really helped. I read The Laws of Human Nature by Robert Greene, mm-hmm. who's an author many people know from 48 Laws of Power or his book Mastery, which is phenomenal. Those I follow those are really helpful to me. My network of people. So, you know, in my industry, we've got like Tom Bilyeu. Mm-hmm. We've got Trent Shelton. Yeah, Tom's a huge buddy. So I watch what he's doing and creating and just a dear, dear friend. Impact Theory, for those who don't watch on YouTube, is super key. I listen to a lot of his work. I listen to a lot of Trent Shelton because he gets fired me up. I go back to good old school personal development. Earl Nightingale, Zig mm-hmm. Ziglar.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Earl, Zig Ziglar, Jim Rohn, Dale Carnegie stuff. I drink deep from the old school well, because it's just mindset stuff that really encourages me and helps me.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. By the way, Zig Ziglar was a good friend of my grandfather's. They were salesmen together down in Florida. They both sold cookware down there. Yeah. I'll throw one other in there that I read as soon as this hit, another kind of like older book, Napoleon Hill's Outwitting the Devil. I don't know if you've read that, but the reason that I read that was because I felt like I got ripped out of my daily routine. And I thought, okay, how could this be a good thing that my entire routine has changed dramatically, as it probably has for a lot of people? And that the premise of that book is that Napoleon interviews the devil, and the devil fills Napoleon in on all the different ways that he keeps people from attaining success in life. And one of the ways of doing that is by keeping people locked into what is called in that book their hypnotic rhythm. And by breaking out of this hypnotic rhythm, this routine, this ritual, this habit, you can actually bring yourself to another level. And I'm bastardizing the concept to a certain extent, but I would throw that one in there too for people. And I'll link to all these books in the show notes. But Napoleon Hill's Outwitting the Devil, I read that 4 weeks ago when this thing first started, and it's pretty quick read, but that's another one I'd throw in there.
Yeah, three resources I sent a friend recently. On top of that, I sent the audio for The Power of Positive Thinking from Norman Vincent Peale, because that friend of mine is Christian, so that really supports that ideology, but also just how do you keep a good mindset through faith right now. I'm for me personally, when I'm working out, I often listen to like Joel Osteen or something just to get fired up, or other pastor type podcasts.
Yeah.
I'm a person of faith. Obviously I feel like God gave me a second chance at life, and I want to earn that second chance. So I'm listening to a lot of messages of faith, which is really important to me in my life. And I think that, you know, finding audio right now, so that really helps with you with mindset.
That is not yet another scientific explanation of coronavirus or a pandemic podcast. I agree, because it seems like half of them are right now.
Yeah.
I also have been finding a lot of hope and positivity each morning with more spiritual podcasts. And right now the one I'm hooked on are John Piper's Daily Sermons. And John Piper's, he has two. He has a morning kind of like quick 3-minute audio. I'm blanking on the name of that one. And then he also has like a daily sermon, and that dude just rocks my world. I think he's a great, great preacher. So I'm in the same boat. I've been working that stuff in every single day. Joel Osteen is very, very inspirational as well. I like him.
Yeah. You know, one, if you want to get super fired up, like a good workout one, is, what's his name? I can't remember what he calls his podcast, but it's T.D. Jakes. And T.D. Jakes has some of his sermons, and he's fired up. I think he called it Potter's Touch or something like that. Anyway, he's fired up. Like he's more of, you know, he's like if you took Joel Osteen and you just put Les Brown on it.
What's his name again?
T.D. Jakes.
T.D. Jakes. Okay, cool. I'll add him into the show notes as well. I actually don't know him. Like T.D. Jakes, J-A-K-E-S?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
and
cool.
I think he calls it the Potter's Touch.
Okay, awesome. I'll have to tune in.
He's fired up. So I've been listening to him because just for the fire up session, especially during a workout, those have been really helpful because, you know, I think the most important thing is you all maintain your mindset and your habits and challenge yourself, like expect something from yourself through this, because years from now, months from now, you're going to look back and either be proud of your behavior and how you treated your kids and how you showed up for your audiences and treated your team and your employees and the people you could serve through this, even when it got hard, because that's what shapes character.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know that you're doing a great job out there, Brendan, helping people shape their character and achieve a lot of success. And, you're putting out a lot of really good information. So I'm going to link to all your books and your products and everything in the show notes for people at, again, bengreenfieldfitness.com/Brendan Burchard. And if you guys want somebody good, somebody inspirational, somebody who's also a real wealth of knowledge, you know, especially, I mean, like during these times when you might be reinventing your career, Brendan's information is going to be absolutely fan-freaking-tastic for you. So, and then you're still going to, I would assume, once this kind of washes over with the sheltering in place orders, you'll be doing some conferences as well this year, Brendan?
Yep. Okay. We do 8 a year, and we only had to cancel one, but we took it totally virtually, which worked just great. But yeah, I miss the people. You know, I've been doing this whole series on my podcast, which is called The Brendan Show. And we did this whole series called Striving in Chaos. And just how do you keep striving through this difficulty? There's a lot of in those podcast episodes and a lot of our best of training there from our seminars that we play on the Brendan Show podcast. So for those who can't go to conferences, but you want to go to personal development conference, go listen to the Brendan Show podcast, because it's a lot of those recordings.
Cool. Awesome. Someday I'm going to have to make it out to one of your events. Now I know you're running a marathon out there. I just got to go and stand in the back and watch you run around. Maybe I'll show up and be your water boy.
No. First, I'll have you come out and speak to my people about physiology and health. And then also you can kind of like, I got to hire you to consult me and tell me what else I can do. Cause I mean, I love to be recognized for what I do, but I'm recognized for what I do because I surround myself with super smart people who tell me how not to be as dumb as I usually am. So, like, I would love for you to come out and give any advice and thoughts because I want to do this. I'm going to do this until I keel over. This is my, you know, this is all I've done for 25 years.
Well, I'd be happy to do that. However, with as few personal or self-improvement events as I've gone to, about all I really know about those things is I have to develop some kind of a signature clap or an intense clapping protocol. So I need to work on my clapping game before I show up.
I promise you, that's not me. You don't have to worry about that at my events.
All right. Fair enough.
Mine are all based on performance psychology and research. So we're deep into the frameworks and the tools that people actually do at the events. So it's this very different vibe. You dig it.
I dig it. All right, cool. Well, folks, if you have questions or you have comments or you have feedback or your own little tips, favorite books to add, things that have kind of saved your butt over these past few weeks, people you follow or other ways that you kind of optimize your own daily routines, then head over to the show notes at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Brendan Burchard and leave them over there because I like to read the comments and the feedbacks that you all leave. And I'll link to Brendan's books over there, all the other books that he talked about, pretty much everything that got mentioned you'll find in the show notes. And in the meantime, Brendan, thanks for coming on the show, man. And I guess it wasn't too hard to take a beach break from the beach because it was closed. But regardless, thank you for taking time out of your day and coming on the show, man.
Man, it's an honor. I appreciate you, Ben.
All right, folks. I'm Ben Greenfield, along with Brendan Burchard, signing out from BenGreenfieldFitness.com. Have an amazing week. Well, thanks for listening to today's show. You can grab all the show notes, the resources, pretty much everything that I mentioned over at BenGreenfieldFitness.com, along with plenty of other goodies from me, including the highly helpful Ben Recommends page, which is a list of pretty much everything that I've ever recommended for hormones, sleep, digestion, fat loss, performance, and plenty more. Please also know that all the links, all the promo codes that I mentioned during this and every episode help to make this podcast happen and to generate income that enables me to keep bringing you this content every single week. So when you listen in, be sure to use the links in the show notes, use the promo codes that I generate, because that helps to float this thing and keep it coming to you each and every week.